This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news, and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, Michael, last week, obviously, the sports world was very much interested to see what was going to happen in the Diana Russini and Mike Vrabel saga. The pictures you guys all know about by now. We wondered if the company she worked for, The Athletic, was going to maybe perhaps force her out. Here we go. She submitted a letter of resignation to The Athletic yesterday. And here's what she said in the essay. Well, it's not an essay. It's not that long, really. Please accept this letter as my resignation from The Athletic, effective immediately. I have come to this decision with deep sadness, with clarity about what is right for me, my family, and the work I have spent my career building. You and I, she's writing this to Stephen Ginsburg, her executive director at The Athletic. You and I have already publicly addressed the recent attacks against me, and I have nothing to add publicly to what we have said. I have covered the NFL with professionalism and dedication throughout my career, and I stand behind every story I have ever published. When the page six item first appeared, The Athletic supported me unequivocally, expressed confidence in my work and pride in my journalism. For that, I am grateful. In the days that followed, unfortunately, commentators in various media have engaged as far as talking about this situation. I lost my place here. Various media have engaged in self-feeding speculation that is simply enamored with, differentiating from the facts. Moreover, this media frenzy is hurling forward. Man, it's small writing here. Fueled by repeated leaks, and I have no interest in submitting to a public inquiry that has already caused far more damage than I am willing to accept. Rather than allowing this to continue, I have decided to step aside now before my current contract expires on June 30th. Keep that in mind. Current contract expires June 30th. I do so not because I accept the narrative that has been constructed around this episode, but because I refuse to lend it further oxygen or let it define me or my career. Over a career, and she goes on to say more and more. But she basically, she's like blaming the media. She's like blaming the media for this. Commentators in various media have engaged in self-feeding speculation that is simply different from the facts.
Well, I mean, maybe the facts are she wasn't having sexual intercourse with him, but it certainly looks
You're going
suspicious.
Straight to sexual intercourse, Mike. That doesn't mean that an affair can mean anything. They were
maybe
holding
she wasn't
hands.
Having an affair with him.
I know, but you're just going right to their. Maybe they weren't having sexual intercourse. I don't know that we have to go right there with our brains. They could very well have been on a date that could have led to something else.
Maybe they weren't.
I don't know why you're
but
going
it looks
to
suspicious.
You're going to jump into third base there on this. Were they having some kind of an affair? And why does that matter? Why do we care? Because we follow sports, and we follow reporters, and we follow coaches. And when they do something like this, we want to know. And her contract was up on June 30th. Mike, you mean to tell me they didn't sit down after? Because we have yet to hear from anybody that was there. They both said that there were people there. Mike, come on. You tell me there are people there, you get those people to vouch for you ASAP. Even so, even if there are people there, the pictures are still of you interlocking fingers and sitting poolside in bathing suits. I mean, it's still not a great look, even if Billy Bob and Gina were there double dating with you or double friending with you. Get those people and have them come out and say it. Otherwise, it just looks, you look way more guilty than you did before.
Yeah, she just doesn't understand, for, I guess. Like, and maybe she didn't do anything wrong, but like the optics of it are affecting her career.
Let me ask you this. Pretend you're Diana Rossini's husband.
Oh my God, I do not want to be him.
You see these pictures. You just said it. Maybe she didn't do anything wrong. Pretend you're her husband. You see the pictures with no context. Did she do anything wrong?
I mean, I
yes.
It looks very suspicious.
If my wife is holding hands with another man at a resort and they're in bathing suits, she did something wrong, even if they didn't, as you were talking about, didn't get to the next chapter of this relationship. Yes, my wife kind of cheated on me. Maybe I didn't see her kiss him, but she's holding hands with a guy at a resort that I'm not there. Maybe I knew she was there, but if I see those pictures, then you go up and you give a woman a hug. I've seen that before. You see clients that we work with all the time. You see them, you haven't seen them in a while, whatever, and sometimes you shake hands, sometimes you hug. Sometimes I shake hands with dudes around here, sometimes we bring it in for a bro hug. That's all normal. Locking fingers though, Mike? Like weaving our fingers and we're both holding hands like that? That's a different...
It's suspicious.
That's suspicious, man. So why does this matter? Because people follow your sports coverage. You were a big name in the sports world. 449,000 followers is what she has. She might have lost some.
That's 449,000 followers than me.
Yes.
I think I have four.
Yes, thank you. I mean, did that have to be said?
Is
that something that had to be said? Yes, of course, Diana Rossini has more followers than you. But she has way more followers than me. Big Hub, why can't people cheat or love in peace? Like, if you're gonna do it, why are you in a place where other people could even... I don't know. I guess where else would you go? Mike Vrabel's a very recognizable guy. Diana Rossini is a recognizable girl to some. Vrabel, for sure. Big former football player that just happens to be the head coach of the New England Patriots.
He needs one of those glasses and mustache disguises. You got to disguise it better.
I'm just saying, like, when we're saying maybe she didn't do anything wrong, did she do something wrong? Just with what the pictures suggest. In my opinion, I would be viewing that as, that's not good. That's a pretty close relative to cheating right now. Holding hands, and then there was another picture that came out later. They were at a bar, having a couple of drinks. I mean, somebody was chasing after him. Somebody was like, got a tip, and was trying to figure out what was going on with these two.
Or maybe saw him and is like, okay, I can sell these pictures.
Yeah, now I'm going to follow him around and see if I can get more. It's a bad look. And, okay, the question is, why is it harder on Diana Rossini than it is Mike Vrabel?
Because of the nature of her job.
What do we ask Mike Vrabel to do as a football fan?
Coach a football team.
What do we ask Diana Rossini to do as an NFL reporter? NFL reporter.
Report fairly on football teams.
And we can't think that you're doing that fairly, whether you are or aren't, if you are having an alleged affair with a football coach. Vrabel can still go coach X's and O's all day. Now,
if he was doing something with a player or another coach or something with another franchise, we'd be saying this about him.
Yeah, if Mike Vrabel was seen with the owner of the Indianapolis Colts,
Yeah, we'd be like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, if we saw that,
the NFL would slap them down.
That would be tough. Wait, you can't have this. You can't have this because you're competitors. You can't be like, you can't own that team, and then this goes to the coach of this team. Like, we can't do that. So, yeah, she's going to get the worst end of the stick here. No question about it. But I've said it a million times. If it were Adam Schefter with a female coach that he was covering, not that way. If it was an NFL coach that was a woman, I said this last week, then it would be the same thing. Because Adam Schefter, you are a national football commentator and reporter. You are not a Broncos reporter. You are not a Titans reporter. You are the NFL. So if it looks like you have a better relationship with one team than the other, you've lost our confidence in you. And your clicks will go down and your stories will go down because it's like, that's the Titans guy. You know? Diana Russini, that's the Vrabel girl.
It's different, and I said this last week, it's different if she actually works for the Patriots. She works for the Patriots, of course she's going to write some flattering stuff. Like, Patriots stuff is propaganda for the Patriots.
Yeah, and it still wouldn't probably be the best idea, but yeah, if you're a Patriots, you're the Patriots. We expect you to write. Go to DenverBroncos.com. You're not going to see, is Sean Payton on the hot seat? You're not going to see that stuff. You're going to see, Sean Payton likes to, what does he like to do in his free time? Here's a list of injuries. Here's some acquisitions we made. Like, it's factual stuff. It's not, like, any opinionated things.
Yeah, and they'll do some history stuff. Like, it's DenverBroncos.com. The Denver Broncos are going to write good stuff about the Denver Broncos. There's going to be no criticism.
Says this, and then we'll break. This is a good one. Something tells me coaches will, at least for a while, be much more careful when dealing with female reporters. Russini has harmed all women in sports journalism. I guess. I mean, hey, coach, there's a woman reporter out there. Don't have an affair. Like, we got to tell you, don't have an affair. 17 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler coming up next from the Denver Post. We'll talk some Rockies. We'll talk some Nuggets. All that and more coming up next.
Four Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman. Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Killing Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. Sean, we got a lot to talk about, man. I loved your story on the Nuggets on Tim Hardaway Jr. the other day, but also talking a little Rockies ownership as well. And, you know, hey, what the Broncos owners, 40% of the Penner Group coming in, what they could actually do for the Rockies. So where would you like to start, my friend? Both very interesting stories in the Denver Post the last 2 days.
First of all, thank you, my friend. Thank you for having me. Let's go back to front. Let's do today's column on the Rockies' new owners, new minority owners, and how the Broncos get involved, and how that pertains to Chris Bryant. Because basically, to kick this off, and please check this out at DenverPost.com. Brady's got it up on his socials. I always appreciate that. The Rockies have two problems that cost essentially the same. They're both $182 million problems. And you know how you solve $364 million worth of problems?
Go on.
Walmart money.
Yeah. Well, right? And now the Rockies have some of that.
Right. And that's kind of the point of this, deep down. The news release said on Friday, you know, erase some debt services, move forward. I'm like, well, yeah. One of the reasons you've got some debts is you're short $182 million in estimated broadcast revenues that you would have had if AT&T SportsNet was still a thing. On top of the $182 million utility infielder that you bought, that you should.
It's unreal.
So that's a lot of, and let's be clear, I don't know if you've ever met him. I've talked to him 6 or 7 times the last 4 years, maybe eight or nine times. Chris Bryant is a nice kid. Chris Bryant is a super, super, super nice kid. Chris Bryant's agents robbed the Monfords.
Yeah. They
robbed Bill Schmidt, and just flat out, the Boris Corporation just sold them an absolute lemon, and they can't do anything about it other than pay for it to go away. And given, ironically, as we talked about, where that Boris and Monfort are on opposite sides of what's going to be a very, or should be a very contentious CBA labor negotiation next winter, and they're already gearing up for that, I don't think the Boris Corporation is going to be looking to do the Rockies any favors after, you know, basically fleecing them 4 years ago to get this deal done. And so what do you do if you're the Rockies? Well, you need rich friends. And I should have said that at the top. What do you need? You got $364 million of problem. You need rich friends. It's sort of my rule about going to Vegas. Always go to, first of all, don't go to Vegas with your spouse unless you're really into the same entertainment things. One, this is to be terrible advice. But here's the good advice. I've done both these things. If you're going like a bachelor dealer with friends, always take at least one friend who makes way, way, way more money than you. Because you're going to have a way, way, way better time. I would contend owning a baseball team is probably the same boat, if that makes sense. Not quite Vegas, but you get the drift.
Sean, how involved, other than his money, other than his pocketbook, is Greg Penner and the sports group going to be with the Rockies? And then is this something down the road where you could see this leading to more, maybe Dick Monfort even selling off more of this to the Penner group?
Well, by all indications, Charlie has been thinking about getting out. And the fact that the team has been so bad, and the brothers, and I think Charlie was the majority of the family shareholders, if I'm not mistaken. But you're there. You're in the backyard. Don't hold me to this. Charlie's probably got the sauna going, no! But I've had several people tell me that he has been interested in selling out for a while, and Dick obviously hasn't. And Dick's kids, you know, this is the family. He sees this as their family business, not just the meatpacking stuff and the legacy on that front. He sees this as the way to extend things going forward. So as long as the Monforts are reasonably on the same page, I think they're going to have controlling interests. But we're starting to see cracks of that publicly where it's like, yeah, I don't know. And as we've already seen, what's weird, there's a lot of, say 7 years ago, Broncos parallels. And the only thing we're missing, the Broncos to Rockies parallels, where say the Broncos were 2019, say 2018, is that we don't have this trust running. We don't have this absentee ownership, basically, and this family squabble, right? Even the NFL got tired of the battling bowlers. Like, there is a limit to how much that the moneymakers and the old money clubs would put up with. And they finally said, look, and Walmart wanted in. And they looked at it and went, okay, we'd like the richest people in America to be a part of this, and they'd like to join the club, and they'll pay how much? And the Bolins finally put down their swords in their Game of Thrones environment that they've had for 15 years, 20, if not longer, and said, how much? Was it $5 billion? $5 billion? okay, we'll go away. I don't know if $5 billion would make Dick Monfort go away. Does that make sense? I mean, it doesn't make sense, but I think there's a stubbornness in wanting the boys to have a shot at this, his inheritors to have a shot at this. Now, if it were $10 billion or something crazy, everyone in baseball might be like, Dick, dude. It's kind of like with Dion at CU, and not to veer into that, and that's a whole other show that we probably don't have time for. But I guarantee you, and we've talked about this, Dion's peers say to him, you'd be crazy to give that up. Like, you're making $10 million to be a 500 coach, and they can't touch you. You need to stay where you are. I think a lot of owners look at Dick and are like, God, I'd love to have what you have. you'd be crazy to give this up. So that answers your question of, do you see, I mean, would you see the Penners having more of a say? Yeah. Would you see them having a majority? Well, they certainly have a lot more capital. They certainly have a lot of money. I just have a hard time seeing Dick and Dick's branch of the family tree wanting to give that up. But I could be wrong. And $10 billion is a lot of money. It's a lot.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I was shocked by this. I, for the longest time, I was like, you know, Dick Montfort's just not going to budge. And obviously, he did a little bit. He stepped back. Walker Montfort takes over.
Right.
Which, again, we were like, oh, yeah, but that's just going to your son. But then he goes out and makes these outside hires, and suddenly, okay, it looks like, I mean, still, Dick has to be okay with some of the stuff that's happening. So maybe he's changed his tune a little bit, and then suddenly, yeah, they need money, and he's finally swallowing some pride, and here comes a big spender to come help you out.
Yeah, and ultimately, to go back to what we were just talking about, I think it could come down to the boys and their families, because at some point, Dick and Charlie aren't going to be involved, just because that's what happens with age and life, and the next generation is going to make that decision. Now, whether the Petters are around at the same time to be a factor in that, I don't know. I've had people liking it a little bit, or maybe want to hope that, and this is speaking as a White Sox fan, as you know, and a bitter, angry White Sox fan, as you know, very angry, as you know, the Ishbia Reinsdorf situation where and it's everything with Jerry Reinsdorf is so bleeping weird anyway, that they wanted fans and media and politicians have wanted them to sell the White Sox. And he's transitioning to and this is the parallel to the Ishbias, he's transitioning to a better heeled secondary partner, and the Ishbias bought up a ton of minority stakes, become the number two shareholder, but they don't get to, with the first option to buy, but not until 2029. The Penner-Montfort thing isn't that, but it also wouldn't shock me because we've got a precedent there. Although, again, Jerry is very old in Chicago, Reinsdorf, and his inheritors have already said they don't want the White Sox. They're going to keep the Bulls, and that's pretty much it. They see the NBA as a better deal. Again, I don't see that. I don't know that the Montfort heirs are looking to punt yet, as we've talked about. So that's going to be one to follow. But it's not a perfect parallel, but there is a precedent there for a secondary ownership stake that makes more money than you and can help get something built. Now, in the White Sox case, like the Penners, they want the Ishbia. The Ishbias are realizing they may have to build a new stadium and pay for a new stadium themselves, or they're just in the public money. Any interest from politicians to do so, especially because the Bears are out there too, and the Bears have been playing chicken with Illinois politicians and getting Indiana involved and what have you. So they're not like for like, but it is eerily parallel, and given that they're both very bad baseball clubs and very poorly run, or have been tremendously poorly run and insular baseball clubs that are at the bottom of their respective leagues, is that when you've got a number two ownership block that makes more money than the controlling interest, it does make for an interesting power dynamic. I will give you that.
It really does. It was fascinating to kind of see this take place. And yeah, I'm just really curious to see how it all ultimately unfolds, you know, 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, which goes back to the boys. And I think their vote is going to be one that matters here. And maybe they look at this for the next 5 years, and Walker and Sterling, I can't speak to them. I don't know them as well. If they look at this and say, would you rather have X built? You know, again, it's back to the Batlin-Bolins comparison. How much money would it take for you to go away?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what the column is about today in the Denver Post with Chris Bryant, because ultimately it seems like that's just running down the road to an injury settlement. It's just a matter of when and how much. It just feels like that's all paths lead to that. And the silence that you get from the Rockies, and the silence you get from Chris, who I did try to reach out to, the silence you get from Chris's family, who I did try to reach out to, tells me that there are lawyers involved and everyone's told to shut up and we're going to get this settled at some point in the near future. It's just how near. I don't think it's going to be before the lockout, suing him back to Chris Bryant, because, again, there's going to be a work stoppage. In 95%, it feels like there's a possibility that's going to happen. And they may be in a position where they don't have to pay some of that during work stoppage, so they may be willing to just be, as we've talked about with the Rockies in this whole year, being just kind of a layup for everybody to kind of see what's going on, because this whole thing is going to get blown up to a certain degree. The Bryant deal is probably the same, that they are in no rush to the Rockies from a standpoint to settle this and get a deal figured out when they don't have to pay anybody for a couple months into the new year. But we will see.
Yeah, it's a wild ride for sure. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, your other story, talking a little bit about Tim Hardaway Jr., perhaps could be a big X factor in this series starting up on Saturday. Tim Hardaway doesn't have a lot of fans there in Minnesota, though, it seems like.
No, 17-point-a-game career scorer against the Timberwolves. 20-point scorer in four games this season. Gee, I don't know about you. Do you think there's a reason they picked him up?
Yeah, I mean, it's worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it has. And he should be getting more Sixth Man of the Year. He should be getting more love anyway. From we look at reasons, yeah. This season will be, again, the ultimate judgment of this season is going to be from 2 months from now and where this playoff run takes them. But now we can look at the regular season as one body. And again, we've talked about a super beginning, super end, really weird in the middle with all the injuries. It was kind of a three-act play. And the second act was kind of hard to get through. But they don't get through any of these acts without Tim Hardaway being way better than what they thought they were going to get from a veteran minimum contract, right? So hats off to John Wallace. Who came over from the Timberwolves, you know, that Tim Connelly thing, it works both ways. So now we got a Timberwolves guy here, and you tell him, yeah, we got to go get some shooters. I mean, this wasn't the only reason that they got Tim, because he was a good value buy in a way that Bruce Brown and Valanciunas and to some degree Cam was too, although Cam was part of the trade, obviously. But yeah, there, you know, he had to know John Wallace is the number two or number three guy in the Timberwolves front office. He certainly saw enough of Tim Hardaway on the other end, as did Ben Tenzer when he was here. And so that's the point, right? If Connelly can build the perfect machine to take out the Nuggets when the Nuggets are at their peak, I think that's it's only fair that the Nuggets can do the same with Wallace and to find guys like Hardaway who have been Minnesota killers over the years. So, yeah, he's kind of Aaron Gordon is the most important guy for the next 2 months, let's face it. But in that top three, certainly in a series-by-series basis, in this series, having a weapon that they didn't have 2 years ago in Hardaway, and by they, I mean the Nuggets, that's not insignificant. This in my point in the column that ran Monday and Tuesday was that if you're picking the Wolves in this series, I know you've got the wounds from 2024 and the end of the 2024 series are pretty fresh, but this is not the same team for reasons we've talked about. Now, it's better, it's deeper, it doesn't have as healthy an Aaron Gordon, and that's a problem, but it didn't have Bruce Brown or Tim Hardaway or this version of Peyton Watson either.
Sean, I'm ready for the series to start, man. Is it Saturday yet? I'm ready to go because this bench unit, we're going to see, you know, what this is all about. Obviously, it worked out in the regular season, but there's still a lot of questions to be answered by this group.
Yeah, it's the second season time. And then again, ultimately, what happens from here on out, fair or not, is how last summer and this sort of Jokic 2.0 makeover is going to be judged, period. Because the frustrations of the last two postseasons and the cost of Michael Porter Jr.'s contract. Again, good player, very good player, all-star level player, but was hamstringing you in a way if you didn't want to go over the salary apron where you couldn't get better and you certainly couldn't match up with OKC body for body. And now you got a shot to. So it'll be really fascinating to see if all these best laid plans – after 6 months of what's felt like improvising, again, given the injuries that we've talked about and all the lineup shuffling and all the experimenting, which some of which have led to good things, some of which led to some very, very frustrating things, now you get to see if any of those lessons were learned and how well you process that stuff, because now it counts. And ultimately, how this year is defined is coming up in these next 8-9 weeks.
Sean, do you have a prediction for me? How's this series going to go down?
I'm going to say Nuggets in seven. I still would have preferred, air quotes, preferred Houston. I think they could have taken Houston out in six, if not quicker. I still think that would have been Houston's lack of postseason medal, I think, would have been an interesting test against a more physical and a bigger Nuggets team. But I'll lean Denver in seven, but I think it's going to be a fight. I think it's going to be more of a fight than you'd want out of that first-round series. And I hope I'm wrong. Hey, maybe it'll be more like 3 years ago, and it's a hard-fought four or five games. But I don't see that. I think there's just too much water under that bridge, and too much blood's already been spilled between the two. So buckle up.
I think there's an extra motivation for Minnesota. Probably Denver, too, but still for Minnesota. Even though they got the best of them in the last time we saw them in the playoffs, I think there's extra motivation there. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, both sides.
We got to be ready. Sean, appreciate you, man. Great work, as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. See you, buddy.
All right, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. Fascinating stuff there. Now, his headline in the Denver Post on the Rocky story was, Broncos owner made Russell Wilson go away. Owners made Russell Wilson go away. It's time they make Chris Bryant go away, too. And that Chris Bryant, man, like, that was kind of an exciting story. And then you find out, oh, he had back problems. He had injuries coming to the Colorado Rockies. And maybe that was not the right move to make. That's one of the worst signings. Chris Bryant, Russell Wilson, which one? Which one's the worst one? At least you got to see Russ play. He at least played. Chris Bryant, we've barely seen any of, Mike.
Did he play well when he played?
In moments? In moments? He had moments, but not great. Not great overall. So, yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but Chris Bryant's, like, barely playing. So, 39 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Michael, there are, stemming from that conversation from Sean Keeler, Patrick Saunders put out another story in the Denver Post, kind of answering some of those questions directly about the Penner Group and what this means. So we've had that question. So he basically outlines this and puts this in the Denver Post. Will Broncos owner Greg and Kerry Walton Penner eventually become the controlling owners of the Rockies? That's what he writes. Obviously, people have had that question. I've had that question. So he writes, such a deal is not imminent, but it wouldn't shock me if it eventually happens. I've had a source close to the situation tell me there is no timetable for that to occur, but the source also told me it could very well happen down the line. So he's not ruling it out. And this is a guy very much in the know with the Rockies. I would be very interested to see how this really unfolds. And then when Sean brings up the Charlie Montfort thing and how rumors are kind of fluttering about that he might want to be done eventually. I mean, Mike, if we're playing a prediction game here, and Tanner just like poo-pooed this when I brought it up, but 40% could easily turn into 60% in 5+ years, couldn't it?
It could go to 100% tomorrow.
Probably not tomorrow. I think the family still wants to keep rolling with this. And obviously this move helps them clear a lot of those debts away. So I wouldn't imagine it's anytime soon. And, you know, the other question is, are the Penners going to be involved in day to day with the Rockies today? No. The answer is no. They're not going to be. You're not going to hear Greg Penner speak at any kind of press media stuff that's surrounding the Rockies, any kind of moves they make. It's not going to be Greg Penner speaking about those moves or anything like that, at least today. But what we've also learned from Greg Penner, Michael, is that he doesn't just buy teams for funsies because he has the money to throw around. He really wants to become Like Greg Penner has immersed himself in football. Everything I hear, this guy has just wanted to study the game, how it all works out. You know, he's not just relying on his general manager to do everything. Greg is very involved in this. So that's why I'm like, he's not just buying, he's not just putting 40% in, however many millions of dollars. What was it? $672 million just to say I own a portion of the Rockies.
Yeah, he doesn't want to own that party deck. He wants to own a stadium that's full of people.
Yeah, he wants to grow the game. And listen, it seems like now the Rockies have lost five in a row, but I still feel like Walker Monfort and Paul DePodesta and some of the ways they're going about it, I still think that that is going to... I think we're going to see better days ahead for the Rockies, and I do think they're going to be an improved team. I've already seen it. I know the record doesn't show it right now, but I've already seen it. Is that maybe a Greg Penner thing where it's like, well, you know, we're in now and we'll put our money down and help you guys pay off debts and stuff and let's start to make this thing whole. And then if this doesn't work out in a few years, all this new management moving and stuff, then yeah, we're going to start stepping in more. We're going to see if we can step in more. I have to imagine those are conversations. We're not just going to give you $672 million and say, here you go. Good luck. Go make better baseball and make a better program out of this thing, and then just give us our money. I just don't see it like that. I wouldn't predict that to happen. Another question that's been asked is: did Paul DePodesta, new president of baseball operations, know about the deal when he left the Cleveland Browns to join the Rockies in November? Was he aware that the Penners were planning on buying 40% ownership stake? Because that's had people talking too, like, oh, he didn't come here because he wanted the challenge and he believed in Walker Monfort. He got whiff of the Penner group getting involved. And according to Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post, DePodesta did not know that a deal was coming.
Well, he was like, well, I want to get back into baseball, but I really like the Cleveland Browns. Why don't I go to the Cleveland Browns of baseball, the Rockies?
Well, he's used to not having a lot of pressure on him, I guess.
Now he's under pressure.
How many times are we going to see that Paul DePodesta ad during the games, by the way? Of I just want a challenge. And I get it. It was a good ad, but Rockies need to... the Rockies need to start selling some advertising, Mike, because they don't have a lot of commercials inside. It's mainly just Rockies promos.
They need to sell the beards.
The what?
The beards.
What's that mean?
You and Tanner.
Oh, you think they need to have a promo of us on there?
I
don't think
the
they want to highlight that. I don't think they want to highlight that two knuckleheads in Northern Colorado are doing a no-shave, no-haircut thing until they win 30. Now, if it would have been, we're not cutting until they get to the playoffs, I could see them promoting that. But we're setting a very modest goal here of 30 wins, Mike. It's not that many wins. 24 more wins. So I don't think they would want to promote that.
If you don't cut your hair until the Rockies go to the playoffs, you're going to have some bird's nests.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that bet. I'm not doing that bet for anybody. That's all season. I'm not doing that for anybody, even if I am guaranteed they're going to go to the playoffs. All right, let's wrap up hour number two. Coming up next, we got the whole show, Pressure Cooker. And we'll get more into Nuggets, Timberwolves. Who will the Avalanche face off against on Sunday? We're getting more of a schedule. I've got the Nuggets, Timberwolves schedule laid out, too. So we'll get to that. All that coming up here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Mike, do you have anybody you're thinking of as far as putting into the whole show Pressure Cooker coming up in the final hour of the show?
Maybe.
You got something cooking? I'm very curious to see.
I've got a peanut butter and cheese quesadilla cooking.
Because I've got nothing. I've got nobody in the pressure cooker tonight. The Rockies are... I'm not putting pressure on the Rockies. I feel like I'm putting too much pressure on the Rockies, Mike.
I've got you under pressure, Dad.
All right. We'll get to that coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.